Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Conservative, constitutional, it's the Andrew Cooper Writer Show, keeping you informed on what's going on right here in Kentucky.
And welcome everybody to a wonderful week right here on the Andrew Cooper Writer Show. And today we're going to be going over the Paducah Sun executive editor and WPSD news director Perry Box is just shocked that Bashir is just as much a politician as everyone else, and as is the rest of the Kentucky media, as they are realizing that Bashir is still a politician, as he messages on what he's going to do should House Bill 509 land on his desk, which, by the way, with today being the last day of session, is the last chance to pass House Bill 509. I'll go into depth exactly what House Bill 509 is, what it does, what is the open records law, what are they fighting on here, and go over the Paducah Sun executive editor's opinion piece article. And then if we have time, we so often hear from people who say that we, you know, if you talk bad about government at all, what about my roads? My roads. You got to have roads, right? Government's got to tax you for them roads. We hear that all the time. Well, I'm going to go over a little bit of spending information on roads, if we have time, going on in our transportation cabinet here in the state to point just how much our politicians in the state, our government in the state, cares about roads compared to everything else they spend money on. And I'll tell you what, it's probably not quite as much as they may pretend to be, as they say, don't you want your roads? I have to take money out of your paycheck, or else how are you going to drive? But before I go over that, I want to say that I hope all my fellow turkey hunters had a fantastic opening weekend. I know I did. I ended up pulling out some success on public land out in eastern Kentucky. So I hope everybody else was also able to bag themselves a gobbler. But I do have an interesting tidbit of sorts that kind of came up in conversation this weekend that kind of points to a problem with all of government. And so for those of you who aren't hunters, let me explain something really quick. So there is something called WMAs, Wildlife Management Areas, and these are areas that are owned by the state that are open for public hunting. And they manage, the state kind of manages those areas. Sometimes they will allow things like quota hunts where you got to draw tags. Sometimes they limit what you can hunt with. Like maybe you can only hunt with a bow or you know, you can only hunt muzzleloader, or there'll be different limitations on WMA sometimes than there are on, for example, your own private land. You know, during dove season, on WMAs, you can't hunt till a certain time, but you can on private land. So, you know, just interesting information like that. But one thing that so often happens and to hunters in this state, I don't know how it is in other states, is that the laws will change, the regulations will change. And a big one that changed last year was they passed a new regulation saying turkey hunters could only take one bird per WMA, Wildlife Management Area. So there's these different clumps of land. They're all called different things. Like in Georgetown, there's one called Veterans. You know, there's one in Keebler. There's ones out east, these different wildlife management areas. You can get, as a hunter, you can get two birds a year, two male birds in the spring a year. Fall's a different season. But you're limited to only one bird per WMA. So if you normally hunt one wildlife management area near you, you can only get one bird there. But this regulation was new, and it came out last year. And it's not like they do a super good job of making sure everybody knows. It's not like as you're checking out, as you're buying your license, because remember, you have to buy a hunting license to hunt on public lands. And as you're buying that license, it's not like they flash up with like a warning that says, hey, just so you know, you can only get one bird from WMA. They just expect you to have to constantly check the regulations each and every year. And that's a pretty big change, that you can only get one bird per hunting area. And it becomes a real problem for some people, including out-of-state hunters. Where I was hunting at this weekend, we were camping near another hunter who was from out-of-state, and he came over and was talking to us. As anybody who hunts knows, you talk to your fellow hunters in the area. And he goes, hey, how long they've been doing this one bird per WMA thing? We're like, oh, geez, that started last year. He goes, man, that's real nice to know. I'm from out-of-state, and I would have planned my hunt around this. Now I have to drive an hour to go hunt elsewhere. And so my point of that is, it's not just in hunting that government does this. They do this everywhere, where they'll change regulations, they'll change the rules. And keep in mind, in the world of hunting, I mean, those are fines, that is trouble, that is potential license being suspended, so you can't hunt. Like, there are real repercussions for violating the rules they set forth. But instead of publicly displaying that, they just leave you to kind of figure it out. They don't display it up as a board as you enter a WMA. They always, typically at a lot of these, they have boards there with different hunting information. They don't tell you about these things right there on the board as you're walking in a lot of times. And they just kind of leave you to figure it out. And so that is just one thing to point out that government does in all parts. You know, whether it's trying to get your license renewed, trying to get this document handled, there's always changing regulations, and they do a horrible job of letting us know ahead of time. But this is what happens when there's no customer service here. There's no competition. That's why the more things that we can privatize, the more things we get out of the hands of government, in my opinion, the better. Because then you do have customer service. You do have people that care to make to take care of things, because you can go somewhere else and they know that there's that competition. So that was just a little point I wanted to make. That being over, I want to talk about House Bill 509. Now, I know I've mentioned this bill before, basically kind of in passing, but in these final days, final day, today's the last day of legislation, in this final day of session, it's going to be a real nail biter on whether or not this will pass. In fact, I record these obviously before they're released. The Andrew Cooperator show's out on WZXI at 9 a.m. each day, and it has a replay at 9 p.m. For those of you that want to listen to that on the radio there, if you're in the kind of central Kentucky area down into Richmond, Jesmond, you know, Garrett County, Danville area, it's 95.5, 94.1 FMs, and then 1280 a.m. Now, session starts today in the Senate, at least, which is where this bill is currently sitting. House Bill 509 is currently sitting over in the Senate, and they will convene at 10 a.m. today, according to their posted schedule. And so by the time you listen to this, if you're listening to this at the on the podcast version, which releases at 1 p.m., this there may have already been action on this, but probably not. It depends on what happens. But regardless, what happens with the bill today, and we'll go over a little bit of what are some issues with the bill, what can be changed in the bill, this bill will end up on Beshear's desk. And remember, we just came over the veto period. So any bills passed 2 weeks ago before we had this legislative break, they've had the chance to overcome the veto over these last 2 days. And after the dust has settled from this session, probably starting tomorrow, I'll go over a little bit more in depth of what's passed, what hasn't passed, the good, the bad, the ugly. If they pass this bill, House Bill 509, it will land on Beshear's desk and he can choose to veto it. And if he does, the legislature can't override it because they're done with session after today. And so that's put a lot of spotlight on Beshear. How's he going to handle House Bill 509? And the media has completely lost their minds over it. And House Bill 509 is a bad bill. It is a bad bill. I'll go over the story behind House Bill 509. I've kind of covered this before on the show, but I want to make sure everybody understands. Go over its iterations and where it's sitting now, what the problems are, and then go over the media's response to it, because we've seen a lot of flurry here recently And it just points it. They just have an inability to look at themselves, this mainstream establishment media, and realize that they're a part of the problem. It's just a perfect example of this. And it does show, too, the bias in our media as well, selection bias. It's just a perfect microcosm of all the problems. So we'll have all that and more coming up here on the Andrew Cooperwriter Show. We'll be back in a few short minutes. And you're back with the Andrew Cooperwriter Show, your source for Kentucky politics. So House Bill 509, I've talked about it before on the show. State House Bill. But it's worth going over in more detail because it has become quite the media spotlight. And honestly, the response of the media to the bill has been something of very interest. It's just fascinating to me. But first, you got to know what House Bill 509 does. So the story behind 509 deals with changing our open records requests. Open records requests, for those who are unaware, is an open records laws deals with how we get information that our government, on what our government is doing and communicating behind kind of quote unquote closed doors. So obviously the government has press releases, but if you want to hold your government accountable, you want to know, you know, if you have an idea that something corrupt is going on, well, you need to get access to the communications about how they made the decision. And remember, our government is ultimately supposed to be accountable to us, the people. And therefore, we created in this country something called open records laws. There's ones at federal levels, there's ones at state level that handle the state. And the open records laws in Kentucky right now make it to where any communication, no matter on what device, no matter how it's recorded, whether it could be on paper, email, phone, private, or publicly owned, so a state phone or a personal device, a state email address or a personal email address, it doesn't matter the way the law is written and interpreted now. The minute you conduct state business in any kind of written format, no matter where it is, no matter what device it's on, is available for public consumption, that record. And what you do when you fill out an ORR is you fill out a specific request. So like I did one recently for my court case, and I just filled out a request that said any and all records pertaining to the denial of Andrew Cooperwriter's alcohol license. And I filed that with the ABC board. And then they responded with all these internal emails and communications and any notes or text messages that they've had regarding that subject. And then that's useful to me, obviously, in my court case, where I'm, you know, in court with the ABC over my alcohol license. Something I've gone over on the show. You want to check out old shows, head over to theandrewshow.com. That would be the episode of I Had Court Today, or I Had Court, or something like that. So I'm still in court, maybe? I don't know. Whatever. Check out old shows, theandrewshow.com. But open records requests, that's kind of their use. Now, the media uses these a lot. Newspapers, television, anything else. Anytime they're kind of trying to dig into a story, investigate a story that deals with the government, they will file open records requests. So what is House Bill 509? Well, it was proposed by John Hodgson, and its original purpose and what he says it's for was to clean up our open records laws and at the same time deal with the problem that he has noticed from his perspective. And this could be a really real problem. And what he saw as an issue was that you have all these government boards throughout, and not just big, important, every board's important, I'm sure. I don't want to diminish any of these government boards as useless, but all kinds of boards. Some have a lot of power, some don't. And a lot of times, especially at the local level, these local government boards are volunteer. They don't pay anything. They really don't have a lot of power. For an example he gives, if you ask John Hodgson about the bill, the purpose of the bill, he'll tell you about, you know, like your local fair board. where your local fair board is headed up by a bunch of people who are volunteers within the community. It's already hard enough to find people with relevant competencies to sit on the board, because obviously you want people who are experts at different things, things like, you know, showing livestock or whatever other concerns you'd want for a fair board. So it's not just anybody. You want people who know what they're doing. And so it's hard to get those people on board because now their personal devices, this is him saying this is a problem, because their personal devices are now subject to a search by the government. If someone requests it, they can be searched for documents and text messages and things pertaining to a subject. And so that supposedly scares away people from volunteering. And I can understand if that's a problem. Now, the first version of this bill that he set out to deal with this personal device issue, that's the main thing Keep Money's trying to do here, okay? Personal devices. Now, the first version of this bill had other issues with it outside of the current issue. And the first version of this bill would cut access, when he originally proposed it, would cut access to records that we currently could access, as in the types of records. Perfect example. In 2020, Allison Ball requested from Bashir's office and KSP any communications regarding the enforcement of the church ban when he said you couldn't go to church. In those emails, they found Rodney Brewer, the head person over KSP at the time, had said to his direct reports that the shutting down churches was clearly a First Amendment violation and they needed to be cautious. And this became a big news story because obviously it's the government saying, hey, look, we're violating the First Amendment, but we're going to do this anyways. And that's a really big deal. That was a big deal. I don't know if you remember the story. It was a big deal at the time. And she found that. But under the way the new law was wrote, the law original, House Bill 509, that record would no longer have had access. Now, when John proposed the bill, he said, if anybody can show me any examples, I believe any records are available now would continue to be available. But if anybody can show me example of records that wouldn't be available under the new law, then I'll change it. And a lot of people got in contact with him, giving him examples of records that they're getting due to open records requests. So he says, okay, I'll take that part out of the bill, but my original problem I'm trying to solve, he took away re-changing the definition of what an open record is, the big bulk of that. And then he said, I'm still trying to deal with this personal device issue. And the original bill was like 34 pages long. It's now 4 pages long. But now there's issues, though, with the current bill because it provides a giant loophole for these government employees to use to get around it. There's some important parts of the bill that I want to make sure I go with you, I cover with you, to see if you catch where this loophole is, right? So let's play detective together, okay? Let's play active citizen together. All right, you ready with me? So I'm going to read from the bill that has passed the House. It's now can be considered by the Senate for passage today. And if it does pass, then, and nothing changes in it, and if something changes, they can hurry up and give it a concurrence vote, then it will land on Bashir's desk. Okay, this is from Section 5 of it. An employee of a public agency shall not use an email account other than an agency-furnished email account or agency-designated email account to conduct the business of the public agency. An employee who violates subsection 5, that's the part I just read, of this section shall be subject to appropriate discipline by his or her agency's appointing authority or governing body in addition to other remedies prescribed by law. A member of a board, commission, or public agency shall not use an email account other than an agency-furnished email account or an agency-designated email account to conduct the business of the board, commissions, or public agency. In addition to other remedies provided by law, a member of a board, commission, or other public agency who violates subsection 7 of this section shall be subject to removal by the officer or the governing authority who appointed that member or otherwise has the authority to remove that member. Okay, so first part of us playing detective here. Here's what we see in the bill. We see that the government shall either provide them an email. Now, this comes from earlier on, an agency-designated email account or an agency-furnished email account. He listed two different ones in the bill. The difference there is one is like literally a state like at ky.gov email address. And then the other one would be something like if you just sit on a board and you do like 2 hours a week worth of a month worth of work on that board, maybe you don't go get a state email address, but you go get, if they approve it, like a Gmail account, you know, governmentbusinessandrew@gmail.com. You tell the state now that that's the email you're using, and now they have access, they get access to that email address in order for them to be able to search it. And now you cannot, you're not to conduct any business dealing with government business on any other email other than the email that's been designated. That's what it's saying there. So you can only do business basically on government accessible emails. And you can't do it on private emails. So that eliminates the ability for your own private email address to be searched. But if you get caught violating it, it comes with problems, which is fine. I mean, you know, it's because it's easy. If you catch somebody emailing from the wrong email address, you can get them. Now, one of the loopholes already is that it sort of kind of doesn't have anything in there for elected people to be subject to any kind of open records requests, which is interesting, but it sort of kind of doesn't. But putting that to the side, there's another glaring loophole in this law. So I covered the first part. We're going to continue to play legislative detective. And this next segment coming up, we're coming up on a break. You're listening to The Andrew Cooper Show. We'll be back in a few short minutes. Let's keep playing detective together. And you're back on The Andrew Cooper Show. We've been covering House Bill 509, and we've been playing a bit of legislative detective. So I just read a part of the bill, House Bill 509, dealing with open records requests. It's become a big hubbub, especially with the media, in these final day of the legislative session. We'll get more to the media response here in a bit. But we're trying to discover what the problem is. So I'm trying to go through the process with you. So we already covered the section that says government employees must use a government email address. Email or a government-sanctioned email address. The government must have access to that email address. And they cannot conduct business on anything other than email address. Okay, great. We're really getting to the point of solving the problem that John Hodgson's trying to solve that you may think is real or not, but let's just, for the sake of it, say it's a real problem that people don't want to work for the government or volunteer to be on boards or take any part in government-type activities because they're worried about their devices being searched through open records requests. So with that in mind, and keep in mind the email portion, let's go down now to another section of this bill that I want to go over with you. Now, this deals with Section 10. I'm going to read it to you. Notwithstanding any other provision of KRS 61.870 to 61.884, a public agency that complies with Sections 2, 3, and 4 of this section, that is, that they provide a government email address to their people, okay, so as long as the public agency is providing sanctioned email addresses or has access to a sanctioned email address, shall only be required to search for or produce to a requesting party electronic information or documents that are stored or contained in an electronic device or system that is the property of or under the control of the public agency or an email account that is an agency furnished or agency designated email account. Let's see if we can see what the loophole is here. You are legally required to conduct business on your email. Remember, it says, a member of a board or commissioner or public agency shall not use an email account other than the agency furnished email account. But then it goes on to say, though, if you are using, as long as you're giving out those emails, you're following the law, you only have to search electronic devices or property under the control of the public agency. Have you ever texted anybody in your life? Like texted each other? Because nowhere in the bill does it forbid conducting government business on an electronic device that is personally owned. So sure, you can only do public business across email on your set email account, but that's not the only way you can do public business. You can also do public business over texting. And right now, regardless personal phone or state phone, if you text about public business on your phones, that is available for open records requests. And the way this law is wrote, you can legally, it doesn't require you to only conduct business on an electronic device owned by the state or across the state email address. It simply says that email business must be done over that email. And if the electronic device is owned by the state or government or under the control of the government, then they have to search it. But otherwise, they don't. That makes it very clear here. There's a glaring loophole. Because if you have any communications you want to hide, because remember, John Hodgson's goal here was to make it to where your personal device is not searchable. Well, he's done that, but he hasn't restricted you from conducting state business on a personal device. So you have communications you want to hide? Well, priorly, if you're trying to hide communications in any written format, you would be in violation of law. Any state business you're trying to do in written format would be in violation of state law. But now you can simply hide that by texting each other on your personal devices. Burner phone sales to government employees is about to go through the roof if House Bill 509 passes. Our state workers will be like, this one's for business. This one's for business, but not what the taxpayers need to know about. I mean, it really adds a whole new meaning to that rap song, I Got Two Phones. Our government employees here in Kentucky will walk around saying, I got two phones. One's a burner phone I own that I can legally text and do business on that nobody gets to find out about. If you want to solve the problem of personal devices, while at the same time protect open records and still allow the easy communication texting, because obviously people are going to text. If you just say no texting, people are going to violate that left and right. This is very simple. First, you keep your email provision. That's great. And then you add in a messaging app for state workers to use that is administrated by one server that is all state business done over email. Say in the law, all state business needs to be done over email on state-owned devices or across this messaging app that can be downloaded onto your phones that the state has access to. And then you have penalties, same penalties for anyone who violates that and is conducting business on personally owned devices, not on the app that they have access to. It would also make open record searches more comprehensive, faster, easier, and you would accomplish the goal of protecting personal devices. But that's not what this bill in the current form does. Now, there has been amendments filed on this thing in the Senate. Senate chambers, like I said, it opens tomorrow at 10 a.m. Or not tomorrow, today. At 10 a.m. So by the time you listen to this, it's possible the vote will have happened or not happened. But there are some amendments filed to help clean this up. You have Lindsay Tishner. She's filed an amendment, a few amendments, but most notably an amendment that would add in a communication app requirement, as I just laid out. Very similar thing to require messaging over a centrally controlled application. And then Southworth filed an amendment to delete the notwithstanding section. Because remember, if you take out the part that says, hey, by the way, you also don't have to search anything other than these email addresses or state-owned devices. If you take that out, you would still be able to search personal devices. Now, those amendments being filed maybe is what stops this from coming forward for a vote. Because right now, they can easily pretend it isn't going to eliminate any records, which they are. I mean, you literally had Bashir and other government employees saying, no, we're not trying to hide anything. You, John Hodgson, saying, no, they won't conduct business over texting. But when you have this floor debate over these amendments and the discussion happens and these things come out, it will look really bad. And they know the press will slaughter them over it. Why? Because the press has already been writing about this nonstop. Because this greatly, greatly affects them. And I agree, this is a bad bill. I am with them. House Bill 509 is a bad bill. But I find it ironic how much coverage something like this is getting compared to other bills, such as the Don't Protest Too Loudly bill. Remember that bill passed the House earlier this year? It's House Bill 626. It is sitting at the exact, pretty much, the exact same point that House Bill 509 is at. Both rights entitled in the First Amendment. 626 deals with not being allowed to protest too loudly. You may remember me talking about this, where if you protested too loudly in the Capitol, you could be in trouble and be potentially charged with a Class D felony that come with the same charges as pedophilia. But House Bill 509, that is eliminating open records requests, and the press has given a lot of examples of stories they would have never broke if this law passes, they now wouldn't be able to break. You go Google News, KY House Bill 626, you'll get 2 pages of results, and only the first page will deal with the actual bill, and only 75% of them. You go Google News, KY House Bill 509, you get 5 times the amount of search. You get 5 pages of search results. All of them have to do with the actual bill. Both are First Amendment concerns. One a lot more so. 626, the inability to protest too loudly at the Capitol, is a lot more of a First Amendment concern. But here's the difference. One didn't affect the press, right? And that tells us exactly what's wrong with the media. And we see this on display in the Paducah Sun editorial. We'll have that after this short break. You're listening to The Andrew Cooperwriter Show, your source for Kentucky politics. And you're back with The Andrew Cooperwriter Show here in this final segment on a wonderful Monday. So we've been covering House Bill 509, covered what it is, what's in it, what the concerns are, and now we're going over the press's response to it. And as I mentioned, they've wrote about this more than anything else. This is a peak concern to them because, of course, it's what's most important to them. It affects their ability to, quote unquote, do their job. And they believe they're all that's standing between you and tyranny, don't you know? Or at least so they claim. Once again, I agree. House Bill 509, a bad bill. But they're only freaking out about this so much because it affects them. They don't care when Bashir's taking away our rights, our First Amendment rights. It's only when it deals with press's First Amendment rights. And the perfect example of this is an op-ed that Perry Box, who's the Paducah Sun editor and WPSD news director, wrote, called House Bill 509 Shows Bashir Clearly Not Done with Politics. And it starts off, Governor Andy Bashir has come a long way from the early days of COVID and those afternoons with Andy, broadcast that many in the Commonwealth found so reassuring. They're almost like an FDR fireside chat, telling us we had nothing to fear but fear itself. He seemed caring and confident, determined, and well, perhaps even a bit humble, facing what had to seem overwhelming. His mantra, which he asked us all to recite with him on each broadcast, "We'll get through this together. We'll get through this together. We'll get through this together," became a ritual, almost like some affirmations of faith at Sunday morning church service. And when the Republicans criticized the governor and made noise about limiting his emergency powers, the Lexington Herald leader reported Bashir said, "I don't care. I'm done with politics. I'm doing what I can to save lives every day. If people try to take my ability away to do that, I'm going to fight for that ability because my job is to protect you." It was, and he did. "I'm done with politics," he said. Where did that guy go? The Democrat governor has signed on with the Republican supermajority to limit your ability to see government records you own. Now, before I go forward in this bill, if you're like me, you're sitting here aghast that this guy can't even read what he just wrote. He is wondering where the guy went, who's this nice fireside chat guy. He literally quotes, "I don't care, I'm done with politics, I'm doing what I can to save lives every day. If people try to take away my ability to do away with that, I'm going to fight for that ability because it's my job to protect you." He quotes him as saying that and saying he did a great job. He was doing the right thing. I want that guy back. Perry, this is that guy. These are all First Amendment concerns. That guy that shut you down from going to church is the same guy that shut you down from getting open records, Perry. Don't you understand how it's the same person? You want to know where that guy went? That is the same guy. Why does he hate open records requests so much? Because he's been sued for violating the Constitution so many times, and they've used them. And you don't recognize how the same person you're praising, of course, would lead to the same person who would violate your rights as the press. He's already shown he doesn't honor the First Amendment of the Constitution. And he says it became a ritual, like some affirmation of faith at a Sunday morning church service. Where's the guy we could have faith in again? Faith in tyranny? Faith in shutting you down? Faith in saying, I don't have to share the science with you. I don't have to justify my actions. And you're wondering why that same guy doesn't want to have to justify his actions to you? You know, it's funny. We've got this front page editorial from the executive editor, this big hitter in media, Perry Box, here in Kentucky Media. Where was the same outrage over violating your First Amendment about going to church? Where was that? And see, this shows you, this guy, he has control on a lot of things to do with media. A lot of things to do with, you know, WPSD, Paducah Sun, that's big Western Kentucky names when it comes to news media. And in the first few paragraphs of this article, we see his bias. Even now, he believes that through the pandemic, this guy did everything right. He was great. He's wonderful. He was like a faith leader. He was giving us fireside chats. We'll all get through this together. Perry believes it. He still believes it. And then you wonder why our media led us down a road. You wonder why your neighbors got brainwashed into believing to hate their neighbor for walking around outside without a mask. Let's hate them for that. Let's hate them for not taking a medical treatment. Let's ban them from being able to work. Let's shut down small businesses while Walmart and Home Depot get to stay open. Let's stop those bad guys next door from going to church. You wonder how those people got brainwashed? You can blame Perry Box. Even as he finds himself now, his quote-unquote rights or what have you, getting crushed under Bashir's boot, he still wishes for the guy who crushed us all. Ridiculous. He continues on to write this article about how Bashir has ducked time and time again about why are you okay with this? Why, Bashir, are you willing to sign this? You've signed on to Republicans trying to close open records. Remember, the article was House Bill 509 shows Bashir's clearly not done with politics. Because he say it's a political move for him to continue to be for 509. Because it's all about covering his own butt, trying to hide up whatever it is that Bashir is doing. But he's right. Bashir's not done with politics, but he wasn't done with politics then either. And the fact you believe that, Perry, tells me exactly why our media is in such a sorry state. Bashir's a very political creature. Always has been. He's a lifelong politician. His dad, politician. He's literally only ever been a politician. That's like it. That's all he's done. That law school. But otherwise, it's pretty much been elected positions. Politicians gonna politic. That's how it works. This is how he's always been. And I'm shocked you're shocked by it at this point. I honestly am. Because this is how it operates. When it comes down, and this is the media across the whole, they are just like, this guy I've been carrying water for, this guy I ran cover from, this guy we used our media bias to help throw an election for, to help make sure he got the right coverage every time he ran. This guy, he's going to stab me in the back like this? We should have had some indication he'd stab you in the back with all the other things he's been doing. Of course he wants to hide from what he's doing. Of course he does. It's ridiculous to me that we have to have this conversation with the media, that I have to remind Perry that it's the same guy. So, 509, should it pass today, will land on Bashir's desk. And Bashir will have a choice. He can veto it or not. Now, from a sheerly political standpoint, if you're the Senate, if you're worried about good politics, it might be worth it to you to do it. I mean, principally, you should have never passed it in the first place. Let's make that very clear. From a politics standpoint at this point, pass it without any amendments, throw it on Bashir's desk and make him sign it. See if he signs it. And then the media will fall out of love with this guy as they already kind of are. And then maybe you might get some better coverage for you. But of course, that would take you passing an awful bill. You shouldn't do it for that reason. But I tell you what, they may pass it sheerly just because of the politics of it now. But they themselves could lose in these politics. So they may not move it forward. The media onslaught's been heavy. And we know that this legislature does respond to media pressure. As I said, I did have an argument on the Maroads. People who worry, say, hey, government's got to take your money or we can't take care of your roads. But I knew 509 would be a bigger discussion. A lot to cover there. Hopefully you all enjoyed it, enjoyed today's show. As always, head on over to theandrewshow.com. You can reach out there, hit the contact tab. Let me know how you feel. Let me know if there's something you want me to cover. Otherwise, it was great talking to you guys today, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.